Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live. And today, as a consumer advocate for justice on the front lines for 30 years and an award-winning author and writer of Fight Back Legal Abuse, a self-help book that was seen and reviewed worldwide, 5-star review, as well as Obamacare, Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire on the redistribution of wealth and depopulation, which we are witnessing today. And that is available on Amazon.com in paperback. And there are complimentary pages as well. Usually I have prominent authors and experts to share information every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the West Coast. But most shows are archived, so you can return to Colombo Chronicles. They're taped live anytime and scroll on down to your favorite author and expert on a myriad of topics from health to business to love to the corruption to Congress to the Constitution and discrimination and so forth. We have it all. So you can always, at your convenience, return to blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles and scroll on down and relax and listen to informative, educational, and entertaining topics. I wanted to talk about judges are subject to psychological evaluation, but not the President of the United States. I have been a consumer advocate for justice, helping victims around the country for 30 years become survivors, providing them with information and tips, not legal advice. I am a survivor of legal abuse and injustices. And I have prepared my own court cases and even gone up against lawyers and biased judges without a lawyer in pro per, and actually won my cases in a few of those unfortunate moments. But sometimes we have to do what we must do to be survivors. And I came across this court case, Howard Kleinhandler Esquire, and he is out of New York, and it says, December 13th, 2020, Justice Roberts, Justice Thomas, Justice Breyer, Justice Alito, Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Coney Barrett. And I personally must say I am extremely disappointed in Justice Roberts, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Coney Barrett, who dismissed the evidence of fraud in the 2020 elections by prominent lawyers, and just like Justice Roberts dismissed the eligibility case against Barack Hussein Obama, aka Barry Sotoro, an Indonesian national, upon his re-entry into the USA around 81 or 82 with, to my knowledge, no evidence of reinstating himself as a U.S. citizen, but attending school on a foreign student body card and loan. That's interesting, to say the least. But Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Coney Barron, God-fearing Americans, and with all due respect, very disappointed in their decision not to allow these prominent lawyers present their evidence on election fraud to the Supreme Court. In this document says, regarding N. Ree, Timothy King, Marion Sheridan, John Haggard, Charles Richard, James Hooper, and Darren Rubin, petitioner's emergency petition under Rule 20 for extraordinary writ of mandamus. Dear Justice Roberts, Justice Thomas, Justice Breyer, Justice Alito, Justice Sotomayor, Justice Kagan, Justice Gorsuch, Justice Kavanaugh, and Justice Coney Barron. Petitioners Timothy King, Marion Sheridan, John Haggard, Charles Pritchard, James Hooper, and Darren Rubinick seek to file under seal recently obtained evidence related to petitioner's emergency petition under Rule 20 for extraordinary writ of mandamus. The new evidence has not yet been made part of the record. Pursuant to United States Supreme Court Rule 32, petitioners by and through counsel Sidney Powell, Howard Kleinhandler, Stephanie Lambert, Gentilla, and Gregory Royal hereby notify this honorable court of two batches of recently obtained evidence and have served this letter on all parties. Equipment from Dominion, the first tranche of new evidence is a forensic analysis report prepared under a protective order regarding voting machines, voting materials, and voting data used in Antrim County, Michigan. This report also implicates voting issues in the states of Georgia. Examination and to protect the process was issued on December 4, 2020 by the Honorable Kevin A. Eisenheimer, case number 20200092389238CZ. An expert analysis involving Dominion voting systems was conducted with permission of the court. Only 9 days have elapsed since entry of the court order. The expert evaluation and the expert analysis are still being conducted. This initial report has been prepared as expeditiously as possible to the lodged here and to be filed in camera with the court in Michigan. This evidence could not have been obtained by the plaintiffs earlier than December 13, 2020. The results of the expert analysis provide new information and evidence as it relates to the November 3, 2020 election in Antrim County, Michigan, and by logical extrapolation explains voting anomalies and evidences of fraud throughout the Dominion voting systems. The new evidence specifically provides additional and conclusive evidence of election fraud and irregularities pertaining to the November 3, 2020 election. The final certified tally, in quotes, in Michigan reflected a slim margin of Mr. Biden's vote count to be 146,000 over that of President Trump, with just under 10 million people living in Michigan. The newly obtained evidence from Antrim County, Michigan, is directly relevant to petitioner's emergency petition under Rule 20 for extraordinary writ of mandamus before the Honorable Court because the new evidence corroborates and supports the existing record of evidence proving massive election fraud, multiple violations of the Michigan Election Code, federal statutes, and the Equal Protection Clause of the United States Constitution. In addition to new expert evidence from Antrim County, the petitioners have also been provided with new affidavits from two additional forensic experts that are not subject to a protective order but evince international interference in the election. The new affidavits are from military intelligence, electronic intelligence analysts, and state that the SSL certificates from DominionVoting.com were used multiple times from Canada, Serbia, and the United States. Images are attached to the affidavits, demonstrating that Dominion systems were connected to foreign systems around the globe. Additionally, the affidavits detail evidence demonstrating that Sequoia Capital seeded or funded Dominion Voting Systems and HSBC Toronto acquired from Dominion Voting Systems 18 patents representing intellectual property of Dominion Voting Systems. These patents all pertain to direct interfaces with the United States election process by means of ballots, systems, and machines. This affidavit further reveals that a Toronto-based Chinese bank, HSBC, secures the intellectual patents pertaining to direct access to the United States election systems and equipment from Dominion Voting Systems. The information revealed in these affidavits is relevant to petitioner's Rule 20 petition for extraordinary writ of mandamus to further demonstrate foreign interference in the November 3, 2020 election. Petitioners seek to file these new affidavits and evidence from military electronic intelligence analysts to support and corroborate the existing evidence of international interference in the November 3, 2020 election. Petitioners seek to file the new evidence from the forensic examination of the Michigan machines under seal primarily because of the protective order under which it was obtained and is being reported to that court by other members of our team. It also has significant implications for national security. There is hearing in the Michigan courts scheduled for 8:30 a.m. Monday, December 14th, 2020 on the plaintiff's motion to unseal the report. We specifically request the new evidence be lodged pursuant to Supreme Court Rule 32. This evidence is crucial to a just resolution of the cases pending before this court. The petitioners stand ready to provide the evidence to the court under the procedures it deems appropriate. Respectfully submitted, Howard Kleinhandler, attorney for plaintiff and petitioners, and Sydney Powell. This is very, very important because it is my understanding from being a consumer advocate for 30 years and leading a grassroots movement in the 90s and early 20s against biased judges and lawyers and CPS, who was removing children for actually no reason at all during divorce from parents who were not child abusers, and in some cases giving the children to the abusers, led to leading marches and protests and a candlelit vigil that hit the headlines in the Orange County Register and other newspapers around the country, because we believe that there was unethical decisions being made in the court system, which led to the bankruptcy courts and to private court and to other courts like the criminal courts within the system. So there are fair justice judges, there are fair lawyers, there are ethical judges, there are ethical lawyers, and we want to commend them, but there are also unethical and biased judges and lawyers as well. So this is very important because it was my understanding that when there is fraud and that new evidence is presented to the court, that the court must hear the new evidence, the newly discovered evidence presented court requesting a hearing. But that isn't what happened with the 2020 elections, as we all know. And the question is, why? So on that note, I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about this particular request for a hearing on the new evidence of electoral fraud in the state of Michigan that so far has been denied and also been censored by MSM and by social media and anyone who brings it up on those particular websites. So who does decide if presidents are unfit to serve? Well, I'm going to tell you that in just a moment because you'll want to hear this very important information, because what is happening in our country today is not only affecting America and the middle class, but the entire world. And they are upset about what is happening with the election of 2020 in the good old USA. And we want to keep it the good old USA. So I'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car. Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Yes, you're listening to Columbo Chronicles Live, and this is Columbo, the Rose Columbo, right here for you. And we're having a special show today. We used to have prominent guests every Wednesday, but there are important issues that are concerning me and hopefully concerning you, and you may not have the time to read all this information, but I've been a consumer advocate for justice for 30 years, award-winning author and writer, wrote for a local newspaper for 2 years on these issues, and have been published and quoted in local and major newspapers and been interviewed on local and major radio stations across the nation. So on that note, that's me. But in the meantime, let's get back to my topic. Judges are subject to psychological evaluations, but not the President of the United States. So who decides if presidents are unfit to serve? This was an article I came across by Tom Merce, M-U-R-S-C, on January 13, 2020. I thought it was relevant. American presidents are not required to pass mental health exams or psychological and psychiatric evaluations before taking office in the United States of America. Interestingly enough, parents who have had children and been married for 20 years and get a divorce suddenly are unfit parents, and they need to be psychologically evaluated so that the judge can decide you are fit to continue on as a parent of your own biological children, or if they should be taken away to a foster care home, even if you're not an abuser, or if they should be adopted out by CPS. And if you recall, Senator Nancy Schaefer and Senator John DeCamp exposed CPS in certain cases, not all social workers, but one is one too many, who were actually removing specific children and trafficking them to people and taking bribes for children. And then Senator DeCamp told me during an interview that his life had been threatened, his family's life had been threatened for exposing this information. And Senator she was murdered 2 weeks later. And so it's a very dangerous it's very dangerous for people to investigate child trafficking, apparently. So in this article, it goes on to say that some psychologists and members of Congress have called for such mental health exams for candidates following the 2016 election of Republican Donald Trump. Even members of Trump's own administration expressed concern about his erratic behavior in office. The president described himself as a very stable genius. Well, what's interesting to me is that he says he's not a politician. And the reason he was elected was because he's not a lawyer or a politician. He's not one of them. And that makes them very angry, because when I was in the court system, they told me that it makes judges very angry if you hire a lawyer outside of the county. In other words, it's a brotherhood, and they want you to hire their own within their own county. So that was interesting to me. And the idea of requiring presidential candidates to undergo mental health exams is not new. I've been asking this question for a very long time. It only makes sense. Why aren't they tested for drugs and alcohol and before they're elected? and after randomly. In the mid-1990s, former President Jimmy Carter pushed for the creation of a panel of physicians who would routinely evaluate the most powerful politician in the free world and decide whether their judgment was clouded by a mental disability. Well, interestingly enough, social media blocked and banned the President of the United States of America, the most powerful man in the world, from speaking out, speaking to the nation on social media. And MSM was very, very biased against him. And they said horrible, mean, spirited things and disrespected the office of the President of the United States and 75 million fellow Americans just because they aren't Democrats. Most shameful behavior by congressional members with the most foul language, vile threats, and to physically harm and verbally threaten the President of the United States, which according to the Constitution is a felony, but apparently they all got a golden pass. So it's very controversial and it's very discriminatory between the left and by the left against the right, who now refer to conservative Americans as domestic terrorists who need to go to camps. Are they FEMA camps? Are they death camps? Reprogramming camps? Do you get punished for noncompliance? There's no contact with the outside world. Seriously? Are they kidding me? It sounds more like communist China. So it goes on to say that many people have called to this writer's attention the continuing danger to our nation from the possibility of a United States president becoming disabled, particularly by a neurological illness. Carter wrote in a December 1994 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association. Monitoring a president's health, Carter's suggestion led to the creation in 1994 of the Working Group on Presidential Disability, whose members later proposed a nonpartisan Standing Medical Commission to monitor the president's health and issue periodic reports to the country. Carter envisioned a panel of expert physicians who were not directly involved in the care of the president determining whether he had a disability. Well, even if you get outside people, how do you know that they are mentally stable? Because I dated a psychologist. He didn't seem very mentally stable to me. But that's a personal opinion. And so how do you know they are mentally stable? Do they get psychologically evaluated too? How do you know anybody's psychologically stable just because they have a title, psychiatrist or psychologist? Seriously. So if the President of the United States must decide within minutes how to report to a dire emergency, its citizens expect him or her to be mentally competent and to act wisely, wrote Dr. James Toole, a professor of neurology at Wake Forest University Baptist Medical Center in North Carolina, who worked with the group. Because the presidency of the United States is now the world's most powerful office, should its incumbent become even temporarily unable to exercise good judgment, the consequences for the world could be unimaginably far-reaching. Well, I think we're experiencing that right now. In 7 days, President Joe Biden and his administration have wiped out thousands of jobs across the USA. Thousands. And he told the oil company and the unions what he intended to do in his speech. Now they're shocked that he actually did it. So is he doing it, or is there a shadow president behind him? Because these agendas are the same agendas of Obama and Biden and Hillary beginning in 2009. And they were angry in 2016 when Trump got elected because he opposed all these agendas. He wanted to get us free of communist China, and he wanted to bring back business and big pharma back to America and communications, because China owns all of it, basically, because Americans in major corporations on Wall Street are invested with China's cheap labor, who make former products made in the USA, now stamped made in China, because you can't find any products made in the USA, or very few. And all these because of Bill Clinton, who, in my opinion, allegedly committed espionage, but they diverted it to a stain on a blue dress and perjury, lying to the grand jury, so he wouldn't be charged with alleged espionage, by opening up the borders for the globalists to make billions of dollars using a foreign enemy nation, which should be illegal, unlawful, and unconstitutional, and trying to give away the Long Beach Naval Base on the port, but because of Anthony J. Holder, who passed away about a year ago, leading a protest in Senate hearings, ended up leasing it to communist China for the past 25 or so years, tariff-free. And so was that a mentally stable thing to do by Bill Clinton? Was selling out our energy programs and companies a mentally stable thing to do? Since 2009 and again in 2021? Because Joe Biden repeated the same mantra that Obama and Hillary and Biden were pushing back in 2009 through 2016. Transitioning out of oil, fracking, fossil fuel, bankrupting the coal companies in Pennsylvania, of all states, and ending the Keystone Pipeline, Canada, who's very upset with Joe Biden currently, along with all the union workers and employees and CEOs who are losing money and who have lost their jobs and their livelihood. And now he's ushering in climate change, the Green New Deal, for Bill Gates, George Soros, Ted Turner, all the New World Order billionaires who seek to turn transform and change America until it's unrecognizable, and U.S. history is erased. Children will be trained up not to know U.S. history, not to know morals, values, principles, not to respect their parents, but to believe that the state is their parent, and that everybody must march to the same drumbeat. Everybody must comply with the Democrats. Everybody must comply with the thinking of the Democrats by China owning communications in the USA, whereas President Trump was attempting to cut ties with China so we could have our communications that held up the U.S. constitutional laws, the supreme laws of the state and the sovereignty, and the one nation under God, freedom, liberty, and rights guaranteed to the American people. So we weren't under the thumb of the CCP and Wall Street and the banksters. So who is really mentally stable since we are in this mess right now of witnessing our country being destroyed through the plandemic and Dr. Fauci promoting more masks, when he said they were for theatrics and for show. He's caught on camera, and all the Democrats caught socializing and partying and out to dinner without masks. So if masks were the answer to stop a virus, well, Dr. Fauci's supposed to be the most brilliant doctor of all, then why didn't he suggest it way back when with AIDS, Ebola, swine flu, Hong Kong flu, SARS, MERS, etc., when China and Saudi Arabia are plagued with viruses? All those third world countries are plagued with viruses, always have been. We have 22 trillion viruses inside our bodies. We can't stop viruses. Nobody has ever been able to stop viruses from continuing on. Every flu season is linked to the coronavirus, the SARS, MERS, the colds, the plain old cold, pneumonia, etc. And yet these countries wear masks, and they've always worn masks due to the pollution, due to the lead, due to the viruses, etc. And yet they're overpopulated. Why are they overpopulated? There should be no viruses, because if masks cure the virus, there should be no viruses in those countries, and they should not be overpopulated. They should be underpopulated because they have all the viruses plaguing them for decades. So you can't have it both ways. Either the virus cures the mask cures the virus, or, and then why do we need an experimental vaccine? Or if the experimental vaccine cures the virus, why do we need the mask? And why are the third world countries overpopulated if the mask cures the virus? So who is really mentally unstable? A lawmaker from the opposing political party, Democratic Representative Zoe Lofgren of California, introduced a resolution in the House of Representatives during Trump's first year in office, encouraging the vice president and the cabinet to hire medical and psychiatric professionals to evaluate President Trump. The resolution stated, "President Donald J. Trump has exhibited an alarming pattern of behavior and speech causing concern that a mental disorder may have rendered him unfit and unable to fulfill his constitutional duties." Well, let's see. President Trump brought back businesses, American businesses. He brought back jobs to every community, regardless of race or ethnicity, across this great nation. He supported the pipeline with Canada, the Keystone Pipeline with Canada. He made peace in the Middle East. He brought peace to the Middle East. And he has no record of starting wars with any country. And he stimulated the economy in America. And the hope and the motivation that would make America not only great again, but maintain its status in the world of being the number one superpower in the world, whereas George Soros and Obama and Hillary and Pelosi and Schumer and Waters and all the rest of the Democrats and New World Order billionaires and millionaires are working to make China the number one superpower in the world by creating a pandemic, by creating civil disruption, and by destroying the middle class and the jobs that make America strong in the USA. So who has a mental disorder? It definitely wasn't President Trump. You may not like his style. You may not like how he talks, but the American people do. Lofgren said she drafted the resolution in light of what she described as Trump's increasingly disturbing pattern of actions and public statements that suggested he may be mentally unfit to execute the duties required of him. Well, what have the Democrats done for going on the fifth year now? They've done nothing but attack President Trump with false accusations, creating a false Russian dossier that Hillary Clinton paid for, accusing him of being a Russian spy, Obama involved in Spygate, and threatening him personally, his family, his minor child, and using vile, foul language and threats, not only by members of Congress, which is unbefitting to a member of Congress, but it's also a felony to do so according to the United States Constitution. In December 2017, more than a dozen members of Congress invited a Yale University psychiatry professor. Oh, I also want to mention that President Trump secured the borders and he stopped most of the illegals from illegally entering our nation and having anchor babies that Americans must support with their tax dollars. And Biden wants to give amnesty to 11 million illegals. And he wants to open the borders like he and Obama and Pelosi and Schumer and Harris and all the rest of the Democrats did for 8 years. Now he wants to undo everything President Trump did. But our Constitution requires secure borders and sovereignty and legal immigration, legal vetting by ICE, sheriffs, TSA, or Border Patrol, and they require deportation of illegals, and the U.S. Constitution requires legal citizenship. They are trampling on the entire Constitution of the USA, and they've all made themselves extremely wealthy somehow on taxpayers' time and dime. They refuse to retire. And they've granted themselves an increase in wages during a pandemic and civil disruption when people, millions of people, have been forced out of work. Encourage and support the Marxist anarchists and communists, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, burning down cities, killing police officers, killing civilians, all during 2020, and they're continuing in 2021. They knelt down to them, and George Soros and his nonprofit organizations and super PACs and Hollywood and Democrat CEOs have funded them, and they bail them out of prison or jail. It's absolutely stunning about who is mentally disturbed. In December 2017, more than a dozen members of Congress invited a Yale University psychiatry professor, Dr. Bandy X. Lee, to evaluate Trump's behavior. this professor concluded he's going to unravel, and we are going to, and we are seeing the signs. Lee, speaking to Politico, described those signs as Trump going back to conspiracy theories, denying things he has admitted before, his being drawn to violent videos. We feel that the rush of tweeting is an indication of his falling apart under stress. Trump is going to get worse. He'll become uncontainable with the pressure of the presidency. That is absolutely stunning. So then they go on to talk about Trump declines to make health records public, psychiatrists can't diagnose candidates, and it says the American Psychiatric Association banned its members from offering opinions about elected officials or candidates for office after 1964, when a group of them called Republican Barry Goldwater unfit for office, wrote the association. On occasion, psychiatrists are asked for an opinion about an individual who is in the light of public attention or who has disclosed information about himself, herself, through public media. In such circumstances, a psychiatrist may share with the public his or her expertise about psychiatric issues in general. However, it is unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion unless he or she has conducted an examination and has been granted proper authorization for such a statement. What is amazing in the courts is that the judge orders a psychiatric evaluation just because you're getting a divorce and there is no evidence of you being an abusive parent. So all this hypocritical behavior by our elected officials in all three branches of government is absolutely stunning. So who decides if a president is unfit to serve? Asked Tom Murray. He says, so if there's no mechanism in place by which an independent panel of health experts is able to evaluate a sitting president, who decides when there might be a problem with his decision-making process? The president himself, which is the problem. What's amazing to me is that no one saw Bill Clinton as a problem when he opened up all our borders, flooded our nation with illegals, or when Obama decided that he was going to flood our nation with illegals, and he flew in secretly with Hillary Clinton using our tax dollars secretly at night, Somalians and Palestinians linked to the Muslim Brotherhood and mosques and terrorist organizations, and with Eric Holder's and DHS blessings, and flew them all in secretly, tens of thousands, and placed them under protection in no-go zones, and gave away our homeland, our cities, and told us that if we say anything that offends them, they can report us and have us arrested. How mentally stable was that? And then he released dangerous terrorists who murdered civilians, contractors, journalists, and military men, and released them from Gitmo and from prison. How mentally stable was that? So who decides if the president is unfit to serve, he asks? Presidents have gone out of their way to hide their ailments from the public, and more importantly, their political enemies. Among the most notable in modern history was John F. Kennedy, who didn't let the public know about his colitis, prostatitis, Addison's disease, and osteoporosis of the lower back. Well, these ailments certainly would not have precluded him from taking office. Excuse me. King's reluctance to disclose the pain he suffered illustrates the lengths to which presidents go to conceal health problems. Section 3 of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution, which was ratified in 1967, allows a sitting president, members of his cabinet, or in extraordinary circumstances, Congress, to transfer his responsibility to his vice president until he has recovered from a mental or physical ailment. This reminds me of Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Democrat Party, and who was trying to promote the idea that President Trump was mentally unstable, so that they, because their entire goal since 17 minutes after he was elected in 2016 is to remove him from office. This was another tactic that she and Schumer used, to use the 25th Amendment to have him removed, which would have put Pence in the Oval Office if they had succeeded. So maybe they'll use that on Biden instead to put Harris in the Oval Office, or maybe it was Nancy Pelosi who would be next in line who wants to be President of the United States of America. So there's all kinds of tactics these people can use if they want to remove a sitting president. And let's talk about Joe Biden. The National Poll says he's half there. Biden's White House stenographer insists president's mental capacities, talking about Joe Biden, have declined by 50%. The veteran of Bush, Obama, and Trump White House and author of Joe Biden Unauthorized made the astounding remarks while speaking on War Room Pandemic on January 25th. Host Stephen K. Bannon inquired, what is the percentage decline in his mental capacities, in your opinion, having seen him today versus 2011? Talking about Joe Biden, is it a 10% drop, a 20% drop, a 25%, 30%, or 40%? McCormick returned with 50%. He said, he's half there. There's no way he could be in a room with President Xi Jinping alone, one-on-one, and make any decision that is valuable. That is quite a statement, and that is quite alarming, and it is very disturbing considering the fact that in only 7 days, Joe Biden has destroyed Keystone Pipeline linked to Canada that President Trump supported, and the transitioning out of oil, fossil fuel, coal, and fracking, destroying thousands of jobs, diminishing the profits of the major CEO energy companies, destroying the middle class in America. And the only thing he's concerned about now, when we've seen him and his family without masks, and many Democrats like Pelosi and Newsom and so many more, while they're out boating like that Whitmer's husband, having a good time and vacationing and going to salons and going to football games without masks like Dr. Fauci, on and on and on. Did you know that a cabal who sold 18 million masks made a killing at $151 billion? So is this really about the pandemic and saving lives, or is it about making money for the left, for Wall Street investors who are invested with China in artificial intelligence, communications, social media, spying, tracking Americans, turning our states into police states? control, power, pedophilia, inappropriate sexual behaviors, trafficking women and children for profit. It's a multi-billion dollar business. Trafficking, China's very involved in trafficking women and children and trafficking human organs. Multi-billion dollar businesses, along with Big Pharma's experimental vaccine, meaning this is an experiment. While they lock you and imprison you in your home, when you are a healthy, free American who has the right to work, to open your businesses, to go to school, to shelter, to pay your bills, to sustain your lifestyle, to sustain the necessities of life as a free American guaranteed by the United States Constitution, by civil rights, and human rights. You have a human right to work and sustain the necessities of life being denied to us because we're accepting it by these multi-millionaires and billionaires who somehow in Congress got extremely wealthy and are now sending you crumbs whenever they feel like it. And the last one crumbs they sent what equated to about $5 a day for 4 months. While Americans are standing in line for a bag of food and a bottle of water, worried about paying their rent, feeding their kids, while these people, their only goal is to remove Trump forever from being in politics. That's their goal, and that's how they've spent our money, along with helping Gates, Soros, Ayers, Fauci, all of these wealthy people destroy the middle class. So on that note, I hope you were able to learn information that maybe you didn't know as to why judges are required to be psychologically evaluated, but not the President of the United States, not the Vice President, and not the Congress or the Senators or the AGs or the Governors. All these people should be required to be psychologically evaluated and during the candidacy be psychologically evaluated and also be drug tested and then randomly drug tested after office, and we need to enact term limits. 25 to 50 years in office is way too long, and it's much too difficult for Americans to try and remove any of these comfortable, lifelong politicians from office who are so comfortable that they've created BFFs, longtime associates. And according to Communist China, they like their old friends in high places who they can easily influence. And they did not like President Trump. So that should say it all right there. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together we can make a positive difference. Remember that you are never alone.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.